Please take your Bibles, open them to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, if you would stand, I will read verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. You may be seated. On a small, unpretentious tombstone in Greenmount Cemetery in Baltimore are some Greek words. Pistos, akrai, thanato. Pistos, akrai, thanato. You might recognize that Greek phrase comes from Revelation 2:10 when I give you the interpretation, or the translation, I should say, of that. It means literally faithful unto death. The stone marks the resting place of J. Gresham Machen. His dependability and integrity showed itself in his scholarly devotion to truth. In his defense of historic Christianity, and in his perseverance in keeping his ordination vows. He was faithful unto death because he believed in a God who was faithful and true. Faithful unto death ought to be the goal of every Christian. God, by His Spirit, is working that faithfulness that He desires of us in us. There are 9 fruit of the Spirit, 9 virtues that Paul gives us that are the result of the Spirit's work. And the one that we come to this morning is faithfulness. Faithfulness is the quality of being faithful. A faithful man is a man whose service we can rely on. It is a man whose loyalty we may depend on. It is a man whose word we can unreservedly accept. That is true of faithful women as well. It describes a person who is unswerving in their commitments. The faithful person is one who is worthy of trust, one who is not only trustworthy, but also dependable and reliable. We find in the Scripture that the God that we serve, the God whose Spirit is working in us, faithfulness, is a God who is Himself faithful. We sang this morning in our opening hymn, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." The Scripture behind that hymn is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, which reads, "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great Jeremiah writes, is thy faithfulness. Moses, as he was preparing the people to go into the promised land, had many things to say to them, and you might remember that in the book of Deuteronomy, he gave to this new generation the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy means the second law, the second giving of the law. He gave them again the Ten Commandments that were given by God to Moses in Exodus chapter 20. But on that occasion, Moses says to God's people, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." Know that the Lord your God, Christian, He is God, and He is faithful. Pink writes, "This quality is essential to His being. Without it, He would not be God. For God to be unfaithful would be an act contrary to His nature, which is impossible." Paul writes, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot be anything but." Actually, it says He cannot deny Himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. Faithfulness, then, is one of God's glorious perfections. He is, as it were, clothed with it. In Psalm 89, verse 8, the psalmist says, "O Lord, God of hosts, who is like Thee, O mighty Lord? Thy faithfulness surrounds Thee." It is almost as if he is saying God has clothed Himself in faithfulness. When the second person was to take on human flesh, it would be said of Him, "Righteousness will be the belt about His loins, and His faithfulness about His waist." Isaiah 11:5. John writes, "And I saw the heavens open. Behold, a white horse, and He who sat upon it." And he's talking about Christ. "He is faithful and true." Revelation chapter 11, chapter 19, verse 11. In Hebrews chapter 2, 17, the author of that epistle writes that Christ is a merciful and faithful high priest. God is faithful. And because God is faithful, we can depend on His promises. In Numbers 23:19, we read, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has God said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good?" When God gives a promise to His people, we can depend upon that promise to be fulfilled. Why? Because the One who made the promise is always faithful. He is reliable. He is dependable. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10:23, says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, For he who has promised is faithful. Paul writes, faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. The one who has called you to be his own has placed his Holy Spirit within you and will bring about that sanctification that he requires of his people. Faithful is he who called you, and he will do it. Because God is faithful, we can have complete confidence in him. Peter writes, therefore, let those also suffer according to the will of God and entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. God calls us in all situations and in every place to always do what is right, because in those situations, even if they are difficult, our faithful Creator, the one who is all-powerful, that's what I think he is getting at when he calls God the faithful Creator, will be faithful to you, and his power will be available to you so that you might endure whatever tribulations and trials you face. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape, also that you may be able to endure it. When you are faced with a temptation, you can be assured that God is with you. He is with you to strengthen you in that temptation. He is there to help you overcome that temptation. He is there with you so that you might be able to say no to that temptation and remain faithful to Him. God is faithful. And the Scripture declares that again and again and again. And God desires that same faithfulness to be characteristic of His people. It was Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who in Revelation 2:10 says to the church at Smyrna that was undergoing many tribulations and many trials, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. God desires and delights in the faithfulness of His people. Faithfulness is a virtue that was highly valued by the Apostle Paul. Several times in the Scripture, Paul designates a certain individual as faithful. These are men that Paul could count on. You might remember that there was one man by the name of Demas, and Paul says of him that Demas, who because of his love for the world had forsaken the apostle, but there were those men that were faithful. Faithful to God, and in their faithfulness to God, were faithful to the apostle. And so Paul writes at the end of Ephesians, but that you also may know about my circumstances, I am going to send Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. He will make everything known to you. Ephesians 6:21. In the letter to the Colossians, Paul refers to Epaphras as our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Later in that same letter, he refers again to Tychicus and calls him our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord. He calls Onesimus also in that letter our faithful and beloved brother. Peter too values this quality and calls Silvanus our faithful brother, for so I regard him. And so God prizes faithfulness in His people and is working that faithfulness in us by His Spirit. And God's own people value faithfulness as well. Faithfulness that they see that is a characteristic of men and women that they depend upon and that they trust. It is, according to the Apostle Paul, necessary that someone who is in the ministry of God's Word, but that person, that man, must be faithful. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2:2, "And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men." Why? "Who will be able to teach others also." In other words, Paul has imparted God's word to Timothy. He has taught Timothy. And now he tells Timothy to teach that word to other men, but not just any in the congregation, but to those that Timothy knows are faithful. You can depend on them. They are reliable. Paul, writing under divine inspiration, insists that leaders in the church who are responsible to handle the Word of God be characterized by faithfulness. The faithful minister must be committed to preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God's Word. There are going to be people that militate against that. And in our culture today, even in our evangelical culture, there are people who do not want, even though they may not say it, they do not want faithful ministers. They don't want to hear the whole counsel of God's Word. And they don't want to hear the whole counsel of God's Word because there are parts of that Word that are difficult to understand. There are doctrines that are perhaps difficult as well. And it might be a temptation for a man who is responsible to minister the whole counsel of God's Word to say to himself, "I'm coming upon a doctrinal issue here, and maybe it'd be the better thing to do to just kind of lightly pass over this, maybe even skip it altogether. Oh, I've got to preach today on a particular text, and I know that there are people in the congregation who harbor the pet sins that I'm going to be preaching about. And they might get upset with me. And so maybe I just better lighten up." Well, no. A faithful minister preaches the whole counsel of God's Word. He preaches what is before him, because it is the word of his faithful God. God has given the truth to his people that they might know him and that they might know how it is that he wants them to live. And the one who has been entrusted with the gospel ministry must be faithful to preach the whole counsel. That means preaching the Old Testament as well as the New. The things that you have heard from me, pass those things on to faithful men. Paul knows that there will be men who will arise within the church who will have corrupt minds and resist the truth. 2 Timothy 3:8. Who will stray concerning the truth. 2 Timothy 2:18. Who will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3. Who will have itching ears. And those people need faithful ministers. They may not be popular ministers, but they must be faithful. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found popular." No, it is found in stewards that one be found faithful. And in the context there, Paul is saying that the steward, and the steward there literally means one who is over a household or a house manager. He says the one who is a steward in God's house must handle faithfully the mysteries of God. And by the mysteries there, he is talking about those things, those doctrines that were perhaps not clear in the Old Testament, that now in the New Covenant become more clear. They must be faithful in handling the mysteries of God and faithfully expounding those mysteries to God's people in order that God's people might grow in grace and in truth, that they might grow in sanctification. Faithfulness to Scripture and to Reformed doctrine is not highly prized or emphasized in the church today. What people want, what they really desire, is a man, not a man who is faithful to Scripture, but one who is likable, one who is pragmatic. They want a man who is willing to compromise. They want a man who is willing to try new and innovative things, especially in worship. They want to do things in church that work in order that the church might grow. And God says, I don't want pragmatic men. I don't want innovative men. I want faithful men. Men who are faithful to the truth, to teach the truth, and to govern God's church by the truth, and to encourage God's people in biblical, not innovative, not man-centered, but God-centered worship. It is required of a steward that one be found faithful. Well, you say, God hasn't given me the mysteries. He hasn't called me, He hasn't ordained me to be a minister in His church. No, but you are a steward nevertheless. Moms and dads are stewards of their children. We have a responsibility before God to exercise our obligation in relationship to our children to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we must, I think, all admit with some shame that we have not always been faithful in doing that. But God has given those children to us, and He has called us to be faithful. God has called us to be faithful in the workplace. God has called us to be faithful with the money that He has given to us. Whether we have a lot or have a little, God calls us to use that money responsibly. And part of that responsible use is tithing. God calls you to be faithful. And God calls you to be faithful in your desire to hear and to put into practice His Word. That Word that you have, that Word that you read, that Word that you hear preached, when it calls you to do something, when it calls you to be something, when it calls you to put something off and to put something on, to put something away, to take something up, God wants you to be faithful. To put off what needs to be put off and to put on what needs to be put on. To say yes to what is good and to say no to what is evil. Faithfulness. All of us are to be faithful. It isn't just written of the ministers of God's Word that God is working in them by His Spirit the fruit of faithfulness. No, that is what He is producing in all of us. We are to be faithful, first of all, toward God. And we are also to be faithful in our relationship with each other. The Spirit first produces faithfulness to God and His Word. A man who is faithful is a man who walks according to the Word that has been given by the prophets and the apostles who were moved by the Holy Spirit. God is first in the life of one who is faithful. And the person who is faithful is the one who lives life to please God. That is the focus of that person's life or her life. He or she wants to be faithful to the Lord. When temptations arise and we must choose between our own will and the will of God, we choose the will of God because that's what it means to be faithful. When it comes to choosing between our own feelings and the will of God, we choose the will of God. Because we must first of all be faithful to Him. In this, the godly person then follows the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says, "Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to Him." That is, Jesus Christ in the incarnation was faithful to who? He was faithful to God. He was faithful to Him who appointed Him as Moses was faithful in His house. Let me ask you this. How was Moses faithful in God's house? Moses was faithful in this way. He did what God wanted him to do. Again and again and again in the Scripture, as God gives Moses His Word in relationship to what God's people are to do. What does Moses do? He faithfully communicates that word to God's people. And when God gives him something to do, Moses does what God tells him to do. Now, he does not do that without a hiccup along the way. You might remember that one occasion where God had told him to speak to the rock. And instead of speaking to the rock in his anger with God's people, he struck the rock. Well, he struck the rock before on another occasion and water came forth. He strikes the rock again and God in his mercy causes water to come forth. But because God says, Moses, you've not honored me in the midst of the people, you're not going to go into the promised land. I'll let you see it, but you're not going to enter in. He failed. But his life, by and large, was a life of faithfulness to God. Faithfulness that expressed itself in obedience to the Word of God. And what did Jesus, the great high priest, do? He said this of himself. He said, I always do the things that are pleasing to him. A faithful person is one who knows the Word of God and who seeks by God's grace to do the will of God as it is expressed in His Word. The faithful person is one who makes promises. He takes oaths and vows in the presence of God and then fulfills those oaths and vows. There was a man who was on Jay Leno a couple of weeks ago. He's an older gentleman, in his 90s by now. He was in the 1936 Olympics and was the teammate of Jesse Owens. He was called into duty in World War II. Was in a plane, and his plane was shot down over the, I think it was the Atlantic Ocean. He and a couple other men survived, barely, but they survived. And they were floating in the ocean on a piece of wood that was no bigger, he said, than Leno's desk. You know, it wasn't very big. So one time, they saw a plane coming toward them, and they were waving their arms frantically, trying to get that plane's attention, and they got it, but it was an enemy plane. And he said the enemy plane dove at them, guns blazing, and after the plane left, they counted 48 holes in that piece of wood they were floating on, and not one bullet hit any of them. They were in the ocean for over 40 days and survived. And he said this. He said, when I was out in that water and my life was in danger, he said, I made all kinds of promises to God, and I didn't fulfill a single one of them. It wasn't until later that his wife was converted and he was converted. And he said, I promised to God that I would serve Him the rest of my life. And he said, I've been trying to do that ever since. On Jay Leno. It was good to hear that man's testimony. But he did what we all do. We all get in dire straits and we call out to God and we start making promises. And then when things get better, what do? We forget our promises. God fulfills all His promises. And if we are faithful people, we will fulfill our promises to God. And we will fulfill the promises that we have made to God in the presence of others. Vows of marriage. we are to be faithful to. Why? Because when we make them, we stand in the presence of God and these witnesses. God is faithful. And we vow our faithfulness to another person. Whether times are good or times are bad. Whether it's easy or hard. We promise that we will be faithful. And we should be. And we must. Because God is faithful. We are to be faithful to each other. We'll get to that next week. We have several things that we might do in order to cultivate faithfulness. But let me remind you in closing this morning that the God that we worship, the God that we serve, the God who has called us by His grace to be His people, is faithful. And because He is faithful, we, His people, must be faithful to Him, first of all, and faithful in our relationships with each other as well. And may it be said of us at the end of our days that we were faithful unto death. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do worship You and we do praise You for Your great faithfulness. And as Jeremiah writes in Lamentations 3, verse 23, morning by morning, new mercies we see. Every day we experience Your great faithfulness as You provide for us all that we need to live. And Father, we pray that as we consider Your faithfulness and consider the fact that it is Your will that we would be faithful to You, we pray that by Your Spirit You would continue to work that faithfulness in us, that we might render to You faithful, consistent obedience, and that we might fulfill faithfully the promises that we have made to You and the promises that we have made in Your presence. Oh, Father, we pray that You would cause us to grow in grace and in truth. We pray that You would cause us to grow in faithfulness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.